No?
No, sorry.
All right, we'll give it a shot. Cool. I have a big mouth.
That's all right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody feeling this morning?
Great.
I know that this morning, that thunder and lightning, it shook my house. And when I woke up this morning, I opened up my Bible, my kids were in the room, and I said, you know what, I have to look some scriptures up on thunder and lightning. Because, I mean, it was intense. But it was an incredible way to wake up, because it reminded me of how powerful God really is. Yeah. You know, didn't you just sense that? And you know, yesterday I was walking through my yard, and there were cracks in the dirt, because the ground is so parched. You know, the ground is so dry that there's just cracks everywhere. I'm like, oh man, it's got to rain soon. Yeah. And when that rain came down last night and this morning, I was like, all right, God, you're amazing. Because we see your power in everything, right?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, guys, I'm just really grateful to be here this morning. I'm really grateful that I have an opportunity to share. Larry, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Appreciate that. It's really an honor to speak to church, to speak to the body, to just share some things that are on our hearts whenever we get a chance to share. Because I know that each and every one of you can probably get up here and share something from your lives. You know, each and every one of you can get up here and say, man, this is what God is doing in my life.
Amen.
You know, and use something in your life to inspire us as a church, as the body of Christ. And I'm honored that I get a chance to stand up here today and to share what God is doing in my life and through my family's life together. I don't see the Mitchells here today. So that's
family
too bad.
Family reunion.
What was it?
Family reunion.
Oh, family reunion. All right, but Dave Mitchell and his family, they inspire me. Not because of how good looking they are, even though they're good looking, you know, not because of how great their kids are amazing, or even how I admire their marriage, it's none of that. What it really inspires me about the Mitchells is they love to serve those in need. And when you look at their lives, they just don't talk about the Word of God. They really put it into practice. You know, and to me, that's just amazing because it's definitely something I want to imitate. They've been to Guatemala. I believe they've been to Tijuana. They've been to El Salvador. I believe they've been to Bolivia. I don't know where else they've been. But they go wherever the needs are. You know, and a few years ago, they had come back from one of the trips. It was, you know, I'm not sure if it was a brigade or a mission trip or what it was. But he had come back from one of the mission trips or one of the brigades, and he shared his adventure at the midweek with the men. And I remember after he shared his message, I walked away saying, you know what, one day I want to do that. When God provides, I want to go. You know, because he just shared just the impact that God was making whatever country he was in with the little bit of time they spent there. And I was like, you know what, God, put that on my heart because I want to go also. You know, last year, when Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico, I was really brokenhearted and concerned because I have family in Puerto Rico. And not only do we have family there, but we have an awesome church in Puerto Rico. And I remember it was almost impossible to communicate with anybody in Puerto Rico. I mean, obviously you guys saw the news. You saw how the island got devastated. And the damage was so incredible that it wasn't until about a week later that we heard anything about our family. You know, we didn't know if they were alive, we didn't know if they were dead, we didn't know if the houses were still there. About a week later, one of my cousins was able to send me a text message. And the way that they sent the text, they couldn't just send it. They literally walked up and down the highway trying to find a signal. So they drove, you know, an hour away down the mountain, down on the highways, trying to get a signal just so that they can let us know we survived.
Wow.
And it was amazing, you know, because you get that news. Everybody, I mean, my parents, fortunately, my parents are here. They lived in Puerto Rico, but a couple of years ago, my dad got sick, and we moved them back to New Jersey. So both of my parents are here, but I have got uncles and cousins and nieces. I mean, there's just, you know, extended family. A lot of the family is still there. And I remember when we got that message, you know, and we just got a, you know, with Facebook, we just spread it like a weed, you know, to all the other cousins and all the other family that's in the States. And, you know, it was just that little bit of hope that said, you know what? My family survived. And it gave everybody hope. I remember the feeling of, what can I do to help? You know, it's just like when we had our storm here, right? When we had Sandy and when we, you know, the other disaster that we've had, even after the World Trade Center. I don't know about you guys, but any time that we've had a disaster like that, the overwhelming feeling that I think most people get is, initially it's like, I can't believe that just happened. But the second feeling is, how can I help? You know, what can I do to help? You know, as I shared the story with people, you know, around me and people at my job, the reaction was similar. People were asking me, hey, what are you doing for your family? What, you know, is your family okay? What can we do to help? And I remember being so encouraged because my coworkers, you know, I work in a department, it's not a really big department, we've probably got about 20 people in it. And I remember my coworkers are coming up to me saying, hey, what are you doing? How can we help? And, you know, people started giving me donations. They didn't know what I was going to do with it. You know, I could have gone, you know, bought myself a new pool or something. But they started giving me donations. I had people that came in that couldn't have, that didn't just want to give me a donation, but they bought bags of food. And I remember saying, okay, God, you're providing here. What am I going to do with this? And we went shopping. We went shopping. We got boxes from the post office. We went shopping, and we started packing boxes. And my brothers and myself, my immediate family, we just started sending supplies to Puerto Rico. We found out what they needed, and that they needed batteries of all things, right? Because there's no power. They needed non-perishable goods. They needed bug spray because Puerto Rico's hot, and those bugs were hungry, and those are the types of things that we sent. We sent boxes of materials, and there was such a backup that the boxes were taking a long time to get there. You know, my brother had sent some lanterns because there was no light, so he sent some lanterns, and the lanterns took over a month to get there.
Wow.
And we thought, you know, people were stealing stuff too, so we thought, okay, maybe they're gone. For some crazy reason, I sent my boxes, and literally, less than a week later, I got a text from one of my cousins. Hey, we got your box! You know, the first box had arrived. And I just remember the feeling of, man, we were able to do something.
Yeah.
And it felt so good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I wasn't there. I wasn't, you know, physically able to, you know, help them rebuild their houses. But it just felt good to do something.
Yes.
Why is it, and this is a question, I can take some replies to this, why is it that when we help people, why does it feel so good? Why does it feel good when you help somebody? I know you've all helped somebody. Why does it feel good? Come on, don't be afraid.
Because God helped us so much, so it's great to give back.
All right, it's just great to give back, right? It does something to your heart.
Just alleviate some of their discomfort or pain.
Okay.
It's what we were made to do, so we're fulfilling how God made us.
Awesome. It's what we were made to do, right?
I think everybody's looking for significance, and to help somebody is significant.
Okay. So. Everybody's looking for significance, right? And when we help somebody, it helps us to feel like, okay, we're doing something about it. Other interact.
It's our good turn for the day.
Okay, it's a good thing. It's your one good duty for the day. Okay, that's good. Mo?
I think you get so far removed from need that you lose sight of other people's need.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take one more right here.
We share each other's joy and we share each other's suffering. So when we can help somebody get out of that suffering, we get to experience the joy too.
Fantastic. Love that. Yeah, we share, right? We share each other's burdens. We share each other's joy. We carry them. My first point for today is the heart that God desires. Okay, and today we're going to do things a little bit differently because I just came back from a mission trip. I'll be sharing about that in a minute. So I'm going to be doing more sharing today than kind of Bible reading, but I just kind of want to take you to where we were and kind of share some of the things with you that we experienced, okay? But if you're going to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read from Matthew 25 in just a sec. Come on, Nina. Move this here. See my way. Matthew 25. Uh-oh. Maybe I shouldn't have touched that. All right. Is it? It's not working at all. Okay. In Matthew 25, and I'll read that here from my sheet. In verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" You know, this is a parable, right? And a parable is just, you know, a worldly story with a spiritual meaning. So this is basically, you know, we're getting a spiritual story here, a story that really God wants us to relate spiritually. And God's desire, I believe, is that we will love each other and really show genuine concern to meet each other's needs. In this parable, he equates helping the poor, helping and serving others, right, to helping and serving him. When I asked you in the beginning, right, why does it feel so good when we serve others? You know, the Bible basically says, listen, when you're serving others, you're serving the Lord.
Right.
I think God put that in our spirits when he created us. I think God filled us and filled our hearts with that, this desire to do something good. I think God created us in a way that we feel good when we take care of one another. When we love each other. You know what? And I don't know, it fills me up. You know, I love the look in the eye of someone when you do something for them that they don't expect. You know, when you meet a need that they just didn't think was going to get met. You know, and you don't do it boastfully. You do it because God's provided it for you. And it's just an incredible feeling. You know, the generosity of resources, time, and self-sacrifice are noticed by God. You know, I don't think that God notices because he's keeping score. I don't think God has got his checklist. Oh, he did his good deed. You know, this month he checked it off. I just don't think that that's God, right? I don't think God says, okay, well, you know, this one is better than that one. But I do know that in 1 Samuel 16, we really see what God is looking at and what God is looking for. In 1 Samuel 16, you know, Samuel was supposed to anoint another king. And God sent him and he said, hey, listen, you know, go down and you know, I'm going to show you which one should be the next king. And it says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6, says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look, check this out, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Amen.
I think it's so encouraging, right? Because we don't have to be athletes. We don't have to be the smartest person in the room. We don't have to be rich or well-spoken or well-dressed. You don't need any of that stuff to serve others, right?
Amen.
All you need to do is be willing. You need to say, hey, I'm going to show up. and I'm going to do something. Right? Instead of just sitting on the sidelines, waiting for somebody else to do it. God loves it when we step it up and say, you know what? I'll do something. I'll go and take care of that need. You know, I'll feed that person. I'll donate some of my clothing.
Amen.
You know, I'll make the sandwich. I'll pay for his lunch. I'll take him in until he gets back on his feet. You know, all those different things. Because the Bible says, when we serve others, we're serving God.
Amen.
You know, a few months ago, I found out that Hope Worldwide was putting together a team to go to Puerto Rico. Sorry. Woo! Okay. That thought that I had when Dave Mitchell, spoke came back like a flood. I just thought about my family, and I thought about the people in need. I remember going to Puerto Rico when I was young, and going through a storm when I was there, and it wasn't anything like this storm. And I remember the devastation I left behind. I mean, as a young kid, that just, it sticks with you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember, my family's all agricultural. You know, they live off the land. You know, they have plantains and papayas and tomatoes and, you know, bananas and you name it. I mean, it's the agriculture there is beautiful and rich and thick. And I remember when I was there for that storm and a lot of things just got destroyed. And how it impacted the family. Mm-hmm. So I think after this hurricane hit Puerto Rico, even though, you know, we see all these things happening on TV, I think in my heart, it was just, I was waiting for an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So when I found out this team was going out to Puerto Rico, I said, you know what, I gotta go. I have to go. I didn't know how I was going, but I had to. Mm-hmm. Somehow we have to get there. And I prayed. And God provided.
All right.
Amen. We did a garage sale. And God just provided in other ways. Mm-hmm. And not only did I get to go, but I got to take my daughter Elena with me.
All right.
And we both just got to go together. And this was a medical brigade. So we went down there. There are people down there meeting other needs. But medical care is one of the reasons that we moved my dad back from Puerto Rico. Because people go to the doctor for a 1 o'clock appointment, they get there at 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And many times they sit and are told to come back the next day.
Wow.
Because the medical care is so bad right now. So we went down there with pediatricians, doctors, optometrists, dentists. We had a pharmacy. We had, the kids made backpacks. We had vitamins. We sent each child away with 6 months worth of vitamins. I mean, there was psychological help. I mean, it was an amazing experience to go and be a part of that. You know, honestly, when we went to Puerto Rico, we really didn't know what to expect. Oh, first of all, the church in Puerto Rico sends readings.
Yeah.
And they wanted all of us, all the volunteers, just to go back to our churches and just say thank you for their prayers and thank you for, you know, that we serve an awesome God, and they just wanted me to say, muchas gracias. But honestly, when we went down to Puerto Rico, we didn't know what to expect. But what we experienced was really amazing. The Church of Puerto Rico, Iglesia de Puerto Rico, they've adopted a community. And this community was just devastated by the storm. I mean, there's parts of Puerto Rico that, you know, it took a while, but they're back on their feet. You know, it's kind of amazing because you fly into Puerto Rico and all you see is blue tarps everywhere. And you're like, okay, why are all those blue tarps? Those are all roofs that flew off. I mean, just, they're all over. So it's pretty amazing when you're flying in. But the church out there has adopted this one community that's just been, was totally devastated. It's in a small town called Tau Alta. And they've been working with this community now for several months. And, you know, they've been just cleaning up. They've been helping them to rebuild. They've been cleaning up the school so the kids can go back to school. They've been repainting because literally the wind was so strong that it peeled all the paint. All the houses in Puerto Rico, for the most part, unless they're really, really old, are made out of cement. And it's kind of funny because you drive down and you just, you know, the paint's peeling off all the houses because the wind was so strong that it literally peeled the paint off the houses. So they're out there, they're repainting, just doing little things like that to kind of help people feel better about where they're living. And I wanted to share with you about one sister. There's a sister out there. Her name is Manette. Manette blew me away. This sister lived in, I don't know what kind of house she lived in, but as they tell the story, she and her family were in their house during the storm. Literally, the house was being blown away as they held onto a pillar. When the storm was over, there was not much more left of the house than the pillar. This sister was heading up this program. Amen. So instead of feeling sorry for herself, instead of, which she could, right? I mean, they lost everything. Instead of feeling like, okay, well, you know, I got to take care of my needs, her focus is, and her family's focus is, how can we meet the needs of others? So, before we arrived in Puerto Rico, before the medical brigade actually arrived in Puerto Rico, the church had been working with this community for literally a couple of months. And the week before we got there, they did this final thing that they were doing, which was they wanted to do a camp for the kids. And the camp was called, I'm translating it, but in English, the name of the camp is Indestructible. Yeah. So we got to Puerto Rico, and all these kids are walking around with their Indestructible shirts on. And I wanted to share with you a little bit of what was going on in Puerto Rico. So I wanted to show you a video of this. This is all happening before we actually got there. Yep. No, hold on. I think it's the other one. Sorry, guys. We don't have any sound. No, this is good. There's no way we can get sound on this, huh? Okay. Well, we'll just enjoy the pictures. There was sound on this, but this is the school that they cleaned up. I want you to notice the kids. Notice their faces. And these are the volunteers. Some of these volunteers actually came from around the world to be with Hope and to help Puerto Rico. I mean, they're doing things. I mean, just that school, they've actually done everything to that school. They've, you know, obviously from cutting the grass to repaint to painting to just cleaning it all up because it was up until...
This is me.
All right. Here I come.
This is me. Another round of applause. My I'm gonna send a bird, gonna drown a mind. This is break, this is bruise, this is who I'm meant to be. This is me.
It's been almost 10 months. They still don't have power. They literally, 10 months after the storm, all these kids, all these families, hold off on that for a second, still don't have any power. One of the things that I appreciated and that I saw from the kids are resilient. You know, you talk to these kids and they're happy, they've adjusted, they're living, and no electronics. But they're doing all right, you know, and it's possible. It can be done, children. They're joyful, you know, and it was really convicting because you figure 10 months without power, sometimes they get running water. You know, even my cousins up in the hills say that they get running water sometimes for 2 hours a day. Okay, and that's just kind of the way they live in. They've adjusted. Even though the kids have adjusted or are adjusting, one of the things that we noticed as we're having all these great conversations with the parents are tired. The parents are tired. You know, they've been dealing and being positive and really, you know, making sure that the kids' needs are made or are taken care of, but they're tired and we need to be praying for them. So, you know, just add them to your prayer list. They're going to make it through. But there's definitely some needs there. You know, even though, as you can see by this video, many, many needs are being met. The medical, is, like I said before, is very challenging. But serving the people was just an honor. It was an honor. I actually ended up working with the dental hygienist team. And, you know, doing things like applying fluoride treatments to the kids and to the adults. And, you know, teaching them how to brush their teeth as the dentist was, you know, doing exams and pulling. The dentist actually even pulled she pulled the tooth. I was like, are you pulling a tooth here? But, you know, I mean, it was a need. And the needs were being met no matter what the needs were. And I think the thing that impressed me about the church is that the church is providing hope. And the church is growing as a result. I want to show you a quick video about what we did in just a second, and then I want to talk about the church in Puerto Rico just a little bit, okay? And we'll be wrapping it up here shortly, but maybe you can show video two.
Something that I left behind. anointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was obviously the tip of the iceberg, guys. It was just an amazing experience. You know, 6 years ago, my family and I went to Puerto Rico. That was the last time that I had been there. And we got to worship with the church. And it was a great experience back then because although it was a small church, the Christians were very joyful. Christians were very, they were just filled with zeal. And I thought, going, before I left to Puerto Rico, I thought that the church would be tired. I thought that the church would be discouraged because for the last 9 or 10 months, they've been dealing with all of this stuff. I mean, everybody lost something. Trust me, everybody lost something. I mean, you walk down, you know, all the tin roofs are torn off the houses. Everybody's still in recovery. But I think the thing I walked away from, one of the things I walked away from after looking at the church is that when we serve, God changes our hearts.
Amen.
He really does. Because the church that I saw 2 weeks ago, compared to the church that I saw 6 years ago, it's a different church. And again, not saying that the church that I saw 6 years ago wasn't awesome, but the church that I saw 2 weeks ago, they're on fire. Mm. I mean, they're just zealous. Mm. They're joyful. They're serving. They're giving. They are selfless. The church was packed because they're out of themselves. Mm-hmm. They're bringing their friends. They're sharing the good news. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, Jesus is the answer. Mm-hmm. They're saying, Jesus will meet your need. Amen. They're saying, you're down, Jesus will lift your spirit.
Amen.
And it was just amazing to be a part of it for a couple of days and see it and feel it. And I came back home and I was like, wow, I want to go back. You know, and of course, I wanted to come back and my family was here, but I mean, I miss it. And I don't know what it is about it that I miss, honestly. I just think it's the... They're just so outward focused because they want to give. And I just think it's amazing. You know what? If you can turn over with me to Romans chapter 12, and we'll close out here in just a few minutes. But I think the second thing that I walked away from thinking is, man, you know what? We need to use our God-given gifts. You know, in Romans 12, starting in verse 6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Check this out. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Have you discovered your gift? Because I believe that God gives each and every one of us a gift. I don't know what it is. You know, I mean, we look at that list, right? It could be giving. It could be encouraging. You might just be an awesome person when you get on your knees and connect with God. He could just be praying over people. Right? It could be giving of your time. It could be listening. I don't know what your gift is. But I know one thing. The Bible says that we should use our gifts for others. So we need to really dig in there. Pray about it if you haven't figured it out yet. And pray, God, help me to figure out what my gift is so that I can use it for you.
Amen.
Help me to just make a difference in my world. And I think one of the things is, what are you passionate about? You know, have you figured that out? What's your passion? How can you take that passion and use it for the Lord? You know, how can you use it for God? There's this person, Sidney Smith. I don't know who Sidney Smith is, but I really like this quote. It says, it is the greatest of all mistakes to do nothing because you can only do a little. Do what you can.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
John Wooden, some of you guys know who he is, says, do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do.
Amen.
You know, I really believe, guys, every single person, whether you're young, because the Bible says, let no one look down on you because you're young, right? Amen. I really believe that each and every one of us can do something.
Amen.
We just got to figure out what that something's going to be. Now, we got to say, you know what? Here I am. You know, what can I do? You know, and in closing, John 13, you don't need to turn there. But in John 13, and we see who Jesus was. And it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You know, Jesus left heaven, right? Confines of heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like. But Jesus left heaven and became man so that he could be an example for us. And there are several places in the Bible where he just says, listen, I'm just doing this because I want to be an example for you. You know, what an awesome God we serve. He says, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. Do you understand? And sometimes I ask myself that question. You know, man, do I really understand what Jesus did? He left heaven and came down and became man to be that example. To say, hey, listen, this is how you do it.
Amen.
This is how you serve. This is how you love one another. This is how you sacrifice. You know, my encouragement for you today, for all of us today, church, is find someone to serve.
Amen.
And do it wholeheartedly. Yes. Now, don't worry about how you look. Don't worry about how you feel. Don't worry about how much of your resources that you're using. I really, really believe that God will restore your heart and bring you unexpected joy when we decide to not be so focused on the things that we worry about sometimes, mm-hmm. but to say, you know what, God? I'm yours. What do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Nino. Amen.
Let's all stand up and sing one last song together.
Face to face.